You know, with the time change and everything this morning, did anybody forget anything? Like, did you forget to do something? Somebody, a friend of one of my daughters told me that they went into a convenience store. No, it was a doctor's office. Went to the doctor's office and took care of their doctor visit, came out, and their car was still running. They forgot to turn their car off. Is your car off? Did anybody leave the house? Are you sure you closed the garage door this morning? Maybe you did. Some of you are pulling out your phones and looking at your app that you have, the app on your garage door app on your phone. I said this at 8:45 this morning, and I had a lady come up to me. She said, "You knew what happened, didn't you?" And I said, "No, what?" She said, "When I left, I had somebody go by my house and check my garage door." She said, "Somebody told you that, didn't they?" I said, "No, I didn't have any idea." You know, sometimes we get concerned about things that we doubt. And I know that we think, well, we're all believers and Christians never doubt. Let me tell you something. Christians do doubt sometimes, okay? There are doubts that occur in our life. See, the problem is in the world we live in, we just get a little bit uncomfortable because there's not a whole lot that we can have a lot of confidence in. The opposite of doubt is confidence. And there are things that we as a country and a world had confidence in before that we don't have as much confidence in now, namely things like government, what's going on and going into the White House and the White House itself, and just, we just don't know what to expect. So there's not a lot of security there, not a lot of confidence. When our parents and some of your grandparents were retiring, they were confident of their retirement because of a thing called a pension. The pension is a thing that would pay them every month for the rest of their lives. Well, today that's not so common, so it's pretty much upon us to put the money back and to make sure we invest it wisely, that when we retire, we can be confident in our retirement and that we're going to survive and we're not going to outlive our money. It's kind of a race, you know. Do you want to live longer than your money? Well, you want to live long, but you want to have enough money to. So who's going to run out first, your life or your money? And so sometimes we're a little concerned with the confidence that we have in that, and there's doubts that are there. Everything in our world that we deal with today, everything that we face is what we can touch, what we can see, taste, feel, hear, all of those. And that's all we can understand. Now the Bible tells us that we walk by faith, not by sight. That's hard when we live in a world that all we can understand, all we know is what we can see, touch, feel, taste, and all these kind of things. So it makes it difficult. Especially when we think about eternity. We think, well, how am I going to do this? How are we going to get by? And so all of these things come together and we doubt. Now, the world, we want the world to believe that we trust and completely have confidence in Jesus. But there's doubts. Obviously in the world, people who don't believe that Jesus is who he said he was, and or he never existed, or the Bible is just a false book or a book of myths or stories like that. But we live in a world with a lot of doubts. So John, in the book of 1 John, he writes this. He says, 1 John chapter 5, if you want to open your Bibles, 1 John, we're going to turn there in just a minute. We're going to read a larger text. But right now, 1 John 5, verse 13 says this, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe." Well, there's a lot in this world that we're running back and forth on, and we're trying to, what are we going to trust? What are we going to have faith in? What are we going to have confidence in? What's going to bring us security? When you lay your head on the pillow at night, you want to know that everything is good, don't you? When you're a little kid, you know, mom and dad's got everything taken care of. When you get older and you're responsible to take care of these things, it gets a little different. So life can be a little bit uncertain. So I'm going to do something. I'm going to have Lisa Ozak come up. Lisa, come up here. Get our little pitcher of water and bring it up here. Give Lisa a hand. Come on up here, Lisa. Bring your pitcher of water. We're going to do something fun because, Lisa, pour this water in there. Don't pour it on me. There you go. All right. There we go. You're a professional. You did that so well. So we can just put that picture right there. Then stand right here so everybody can see. Now, what I've got here, Lisa, you're anxious to get into the cotton candy, aren't you? I've been prepping. Okay. So, it's been a tough morning. So, oh, look at you. You got it ripped open already. Okay, so this is cotton candy, all right? Cotton candy looks really, really good, doesn't it? Taste it, see if it's real.
It's good.
It's good stuff, right? Sweet.
It is.
Kind of reminds you of life, right?
Yeah.
Oh, well, take a big hunk of that and throw in there. Back this way, back up this way. Oh, there you go. It's just going to put another piece in there. Here, I'll tell you what, put that in there and I'm going to help you. That looks like fun. So, look at this, man. Well, don't use it all. You're going to want something to eat during church. I'll tell you what. So, you know, look at that. Oh, he hit the floor there. I'll get in trouble by custodial if I leave it there. All right, so there we go. So what we have here is it just disappears. Now, Lisa, see that what's written on there? There's a scripture, right? It says James 4:13-14. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and then make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? It's a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. So that's just kind of like this cotton candy, isn't it? So you can take that. Give Lisa a big hand. Take that too. Give it to Melanie. Yeah, there you go. You know, that's the way life is. It seems sweet and it seems like it's going to be better than what it is. And so we look at that and we think, man, I want a part of that. And we as believers, we've gathered here today because we're believers and we feel like we know something, we have something that the world doesn't have, so we want to share that with them rather, celebrate that with them. But the problem is, the world doesn't believe what we believe about Jesus. And you and I sometimes get into a situation where we begin to doubt some of these things as well. Even believers doubt. But the story is, Jesus went along and he called 12 men to follow him. These 12 men stayed with him for over 3 years. They saw everything he did. They saw his miracles. They saw where he went. They heard what he taught. So if anybody was going to know the truth about what Jesus said, these 12 men would understand that, would know it. Now, these men were given to temptation as well. You know, one of them, Judas, he was so tempted by pride and by finances that he actually sold himself out and he took his own life. But the other 11, even after the crucifixion, they stuck with Jesus. And then after Jesus had ascended into heaven, they stuck with that. And most of them died as martyrs, meaning they died believing, serving Jesus. These men who knew exactly what was true and what wasn't true. So either everything Jesus said, everything Jesus taught was 100% true, or these guys were just committed fools who died for nothing and gave up everything to gain absolutely nothing. And here's what I know about mankind. Man will not die for something that they know is a lie. They just won't do it. So after Jesus had been crucified and he was put into the tomb, wouldn't you think that they would go back to their old jobs? Go back to doing what they did before? Going back to families that they had left? Going back to careers they'd left? Going back to that, some of that confidence in the retirement or whatever they're going to do and financial stability? Being a fisherman or a tax collector, whatever they were doing, wouldn't they have gone back to that? But they didn't. Because something happened to convince them that he was real. One, 3 days later, he came back out of the grave. Even yet, if they hadn't believed, they'd have gone back to their lives. But they didn't do it. Because they saw what Jesus said was absolutely true. So about 60 or so years later, John writes the words that we're going to read right now. So I want you to open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1. About 60 years later, John is inspired by the Holy Spirit to write the word. Every word that you see written here was inspired by God. And they wrote exactly, he wrote exactly what the Holy Spirit told him to write with his experience at hand. So 1 John chapter 1 verse 1 says this, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested, in other words, revealed or shown to us, to them. That which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. Let's pray. God, I pray right now that you add your blessings to the word that's been read. Lord, we know it's the word of God. We know it's straight from you, God. We know, Lord, that what John is writing was what they saw and they witnessed. And God, if anybody would know the truth, they knew the truth. And they write it so we can see. And so we can know the truth. Lord, help us to understand that. Make application to our own lives today. Lord, I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. So as we read what John is writing, understanding Jesus has, they've been with Jesus for 3+ years. He's been crucified on the cross. They buried him in a tomb. 3 days later, he came out of that tomb. They met with him. They saw him. They watched him ascend into heaven. Acts 1:8 tells us that. And then about 60+ years later, they go back to write these words. If anybody would know if this was true or false, they would know. John was spent a great deal of time with Jesus, he would know the truth. What would convince John and the other disciples to stick to this story and to stay with it all of this time and to even die for the cause? Well, first of all, it's because, as John wrote, the testimony is true. Look what he said. Look what he said in verse 1. He's talking about, we have heard it told, he's saying. He says, that which was from the beginning. Now in John chapter 1, the Gospel of John chapter 1 verse 1, it starts out by saying this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So it's talking about the Word being God, talking about Jesus himself. And so these guys had spent all this time with Jesus. John had spent all this time with Jesus. And so if he was a fake, they would have known. If he was tricking people, they would have known. If what he was saying wasn't true, they would have known. And after he had been buried and put in the tomb, they would have known, because he wouldn't have come out 3 days later. But he came out, and that even kind of amazed them a bit. And then they met him in the upper room, and they touched his body and saw his body, and they saw what Jesus had been doing, and then they watched him ascend up to his Father. They knew. They said, the testimony that we've heard prophesied for all these years is true. They knew it. So the testimony is true. Well, next thing we notice is, as they said in this, if you read on, he said, we've heard it and we saw it happen, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested. Now that's just a fancy word that we read in the Bible. That means shown to us. It was shown to us, and we have seen. And then he says this, and bear witness. In other words, we know it to be true. We're standing behind it. And declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. In other words, shown or revealed to us. Verse 3 now. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship was with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. So what are they saying here? They're saying, talking about this fellowship John is talking about. Fellowship is more than just sitting and eating a bucket of chicken in a church gym somewhere. Fellowship is agreeing with and being together, doing life with. They said, we have life together. We have fellowship. We have agreement here. We are agreeing together, and we want you to have this agreement. We want you to have this fellowship with us that we have with God and that you would have with God. He said, we're writing these things so that you know everything that Jesus said and the scripture teaches and we are telling you is true. They're saying, listen, we've seen it. We've touched it. We've walked beside Him. We've seen Him do the miracles. We've heard His teachings and we've seen lives changed. If anybody would know the truth, it would be these guys. They're very, very clear about it. Then read on if you would. And he said, we tell it to you, verse 4, and these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. Do you know what I know about people who doubt? People who doubt are miserable. How do I know that? Because there are things in life that I struggle with too. There are things that I doubt. And when you lay your head on the pillow at night, you want to know that everything is clear, that everything is secure, that everything is good. If you have small children, when it begins to storm outside, where do those children usually end up? In your bed. Why? Because they find security at being with you. And so the security we have is with our Heavenly Father. Jesus refers to Him as Abba Father, our dear Father. He is our Father. And so we find our security there. But there's not a lot of security that we find in this world. In fact, what He goes on to tell us as He's explaining that this is not a cotton candy gospel. It doesn't just disappear like this. This is not a cotton candy gospel. But we live in a cotton candy world where everything we see disappears. Everything. You go and buy a new car. Boy, it smells good, looks good, drives solid, feels great. Wait 4 or 5 years. See how it does then. The paint begins to fade and the headlights dim. And it gets loose as it's driving. It just doesn't feel like it used to. Why? Because everything wears out. Buy a new house. House smells good, looks good. Give it a few years with that builder's grade carpet, it begins to buckle and wear, and everything gets, you know, it just simply wears out. Everything in our life wears out. You don't own a single thing that lasts. You have new clothes, they're new today. Wait a while, throw them in the washing machine a few times. They'll get worn out, they'll get faded, stretched. They just don't fit like they used to. Nothing in this world lasts. Now, when you're young and you're comparing it to your 15 years of life or something, you think, man, this thing's lasted all my life. But when you get older, you go to buy things, they said, this has a lifetime warranty. When you get older, you begin to ask the question, wait a minute, whose lifetime? His lifetime or my lifetime, right? You begin to realize things simply don't last. Things in this world don't last. So what does he tell us? He goes on to tell us that the message is clear. Look at verse 5. Look down at verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from Him, and we declare it to you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. We live in a very lit up world. I'm told that they have new lights down on the main streets in downtown St. Louis around Busch Stadium stuff. They say it looks just like daytime down there with all the LED technology and stuff. We have all these great lights. There's light everywhere. But when you're living in a time like this where your light at night was a candle or an oil burning lamp and there's not a whole lot of light and it's difficult to see, I've learned that the older I get, if you believe this or agree with me, say amen on this. The older I get, the more light I need to read. Can I get an amen from anybody? Yeah, well, that's the way it is. There, was a lot of darkness. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of darkness in our world. So what we do is we run from here, we run to there. We try to find hope. We try to find happiness. We try to find something that's going to satisfy. And so cotton candy looks good. And so cotton candy, we'll grab it and take a big bite. And it's sweet at first. And then it just dissolves. And we're like, what's going on here? Throw it in a bowl of water. It just disappears. It doesn't last. Nothing lasts. Because there's so much darkness in this world. I spend a lot of time talking to people about what's going on in their lives. And I live life as well. And I understand there's a lot of darkness that is out there. Let me tell you something. Martin Luther King Jr. said this. He said, you cannot drive out darkness with darkness. You can only drive out darkness with light. And you cannot drive out hatred with hate, only love. I want to tell you something. There's a lot of hate in the world today, is there not? There's a lot of darkness. And you might find yourself. I have people, they come to me sometimes and say, listen, I found myself in a dark place. That doesn't mean that they went to the room, turned out the light, or the light bulb burned out, and all of a sudden it's dark. They have found themselves in a lonely, dark place. And when they get in that dark place and they realize what's going on, they want to get out of it. The problem is, most people don't know how to get out of that darkness. And they want hope. And you might be sitting here today saying, listen, I'm putting on a big front and I'm here with my Sunday clothes on, and I'm sitting in the pew and I'm singing the songs, doing all the right things, but I'm going to be honest with you, there's some darkness in my life. I'm having a lot of doubt. I don't know what to do. You know, when we get into such a dark place, what's happened in our world now, we get to a point where we say, you know what? It's not worth going on. That's why suicide is such a big problem. I wrote down some statistics from last year about suicide. Did you know that suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in the United States of America? The United States of America, the best country in the world. We have riches so great that our poorest person is living better than people of wealth live in third world countries. There's not a person sitting in this room who doesn't know where they're going to get lunch today. You might wonder what restaurant it's going to be at, right? Or what mom or dad's going to fix or what we're going to do. You might wonder some of those things. But most of us have comforts that the world can't even comprehend. Yet the 10th leading cause of death in our nation is suicide. 129 people take their life every day in the United States of America. That's 48,000 people. 48,000 people died last year because they took their own life, sitting in darkness. Yesterday, I saw the story of the Bellon, I think how they pronounce it. The Bellon family that survived, family of five that survived the tsunami in Indonesia in 2004. And I saw that story and I thought, oh my goodness. There were times during their survival that I would have thought, you know what? It's not worth living for. I don't want to, God, just take me. I mean, their kids, they were in a swimming pool at a resort in Indonesia, and the tsunami came in, pushed mom through a plate glass window. Her son found her as they're floating, holding on to logs and trying to get by. One of the little boys was up in a tree. They found him up in a tree. Another boy was over here. They all ended up coming together and finding each other. And it's called the miracle. But I'll be honest with you, there were times when I think, why? What's the hope? Listen to me. I want you to understand this. I want you to get this. There's a lot of people, and they might be sitting next to you today, or in front of you, or behind you. They might work with you, or be at school with you. There's a lot of people around you and me today who don't have hope. And they don't know what to do. You and I are sitting with hope in our presence. We've got the Word of God here, and the message is very clear, very clear. God is light, And in him is no darkness at all. The message is clear. He went on to say in verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. You know, the Bible teaches us. The Bible says that every single one of us has sinned. The Bible says that the payment or the wage of that sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through who? Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Look at verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Listen, we have got to come to a point where every single one of us realizes we're hopeless. Because this cotton candy life that we're putting so much stock in and confidence in, it's going to melt away someday. When you're 17, 18, 20 years old, you're on top of the world, you think you got it made. But I'm going to tell you, when you get a little bit older, you begin to realize that these things don't last. And cotton candy dissolves. And it's sweet and tasty when it goes in your mouth at first, but eventually it's gone. You're going to need hope. You are going to have hope. And the only place you're going to find hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And John writes and said, you can know. You know, I talk to a lot of people about salvation. I have a lot of people say things to me like, I say, when you die, you're going to be in heaven. You know what they tell me? Well, I hope so. Or they say, I think so. I plan to be. Let me tell you something. I don't want to go into surgery, and I ask a surgeon, how are things going to go? Well, I hope they go well. Have you done this before? Yeah. How'd it go? I think. You know, I think you'll be, what do you think? Well, I don't know. We'll know when we get in there. I had a doctor one time that decided he wanted to do exploratory surgery on me. I said, what are you going to do? He said, I'll open you up and see what's going on. No, you're not. We're not going to do that. And you know what? He was wrong. He thought he had a form of cancer. He was wrong. Had I let him do that, he would have been wrong. Who knows what would have happened? Listen, we can know. We don't have to hope that we're going to heaven, think that we're going to heaven, plan to go to heaven. When we do that, we're usually stacking up things and, well, I've done enough good things. It doesn't matter. Your righteousness, your deeds are filthy rags, the Bible says. Those things don't matter. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to think possibly. You can know that you have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we see the testimony is true. The message is clear. Look at number 3. The challenge is sincere. Now look across the page to 1 John chapter 2. Here's what he's saying. I want you to notice how he starts out because he's speaking to other believers. He says, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is a propitiation. Oh, that's a big old word. What does it mean? It means our atonement or our payment. Remember I said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He's a propitiation. He's our atonement. For he himself is a propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but also for the whole world. Do you understand what the Bible is saying? Do you understand what John is writing there? He's saying that he's the answer. He's the hope for the entire world. You might find yourself today in a cotton candy syndrome where you think, man, I've realized that life just, it really wasn't what I thought it was going to be. My career is not where I thought I'd be. My marriage isn't what I thought it'd be. My life isn't where I'd planned on it being. Maybe you're a goal setter. You keep making these plans. And so you know when you're 20, you're going to be here. When you're 25, you're going to be here. When you're 30, you're going to be here. You have all these goals set up. Then all of a sudden, you're getting a little bit older. And some of us in this room are a little bit older. So you get to that point, you begin to think, wait a minute now. I'm to that point. What's going on? There's nothing here. And he says, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. You know, we have a choice to make right here today. We're going to do in just a little bit a song of response. What do we mean by that? It means we want you to respond to the message that is out there. It's not that Pastor Buddy and I are hung up on our words. We're just simply sharing the Word of God. And if the Word of God is taught or is preached, the Bible says that it, sharper than two-edged sword, cuts to the very marrow of the bone. Perhaps today the Word of God is cut deep and you say, man, I'm right there. I'm trying to live a cotton candy life and it's empty. I'm beginning to realize there's nothing left. There's nothing there. I want to tell you where hope is. Hope is in Jesus Christ. And John said the testimony is true. He's everything he said he was. Everything he said was true. These men didn't go back to their old ways of life. They stuck with it. Many of them meaning death because they knew where real hope is. I want you to bow your head. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to think about this for just a minute. There's a lot of things that were being sold in our world today. People tell us that this is true or that's true, or there's a warranty or a guarantee here or there. We rely on these things or that thing. I'm going to tell you something. You buy something with a lifetime guarantee, it's going to last a lifetime. All that means is that when you get to the end of the warranty or the end of the product life, they'll give you another one. Man, I've had products like that. The product isn't going to last forever. Anything you're touching, feeling, seeing, understanding outside of Jesus Christ is going to fail. I promise you. It's got an expiration date. If you're holding on to those things, all you've got is a cotton candy kind of life. I challenge you. Would you come and kneel in this altar, or come and take Pastor Buddy by the hand or me by the hand and say, listen, I'm tired of this. I need something that'll last. Please tell me about this Jesus that John wrote about. Let's pray. God, I pray that you be with us today. Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit just pours over us all that we understand, that we can know, that we can quit doubting and have confidence in eternity through Jesus Christ. Lord, I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.